The Jungian analyst Marion Woodman tells a really great story about a client that she gave an article to. A client wanted to see an article that she had written. And Marion says that her gut told her don't do it, but she didn't listen to her gut, and she did it anyway. So she gives this client her article. And the next week, the client comes back and says, tosses it at her and says, well, I don't need to read your stuff anymore. And they go on and they talk, and then Marion comes back around later and says, now, what did you mean when you said that? And the woman was shocked, and she said, I didn't say that. I would never say that. That's something my mother would say. And the question that arises to me in that story, and why I love that story, is it's a great example of the influence of the unconscious. We react, we do things, we say things, and we don't realize we're doing them or saying them. And in the scriptures, one of the ways that that gets talked about is by the admonition to wake up. Because there's a way in which we're, part of us is asleep at the switch when our unconscious says and does things and we don't remember that we said or did it. Right? And Marion Woodman, being a great analyst, of course, then used that comment from the most important comment from her client wasn't, I don't need to read your stuff anymore. It was, I would never say that. That's the stuff my mother would say. Right? And that began a conversation about what voice did you take in from people around you in your childhood? When does that critical voice come out? How does that critical voice come out? Are you aware that that critical voice comes out? There are lots of great analytic questions that can flow from that statement. But it's the statement from the part of her that was shocked because it was asleep when she said, I don't need to read your stuff anymore. Right? And that's, I think, a lot of what's happening in these biblical texts, right? A lot of what is happening is the challenge, the confrontation of the part of us that's asleep, the confrontation of the way our ego goes asleep and our unconscious drives formed from various hurts and pains and experiences take over. And we do stuff that on reflection, we would consciously never do. I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I did that. Maybe when we're not being defensive all alone by ourselves, I can't believe I was that mean. Okay? So that when the angel speaks to the church in Sardis, and when Jesus speaks to the church in Sardis through the prophet, he says, wake up. You have a reputation for doing good, but your good works aren't all that good. Because there's this little unconscious barb in it. The challenge, it's the same challenge that Jesus is saying. You haven't woken up. You've done all of these murderous things. Jerusalem, you won't wake up and let me gather you to myself. And one of the great challenges in life is waking up. It takes energy to go from unconscious to conscious. It takes work. It takes effort. It takes energy. And it means that we have to look at things we did when we were asleep or unconscious that make us uncomfortable when we're awake or conscious. And so one of the great challenges of the spiritual life is not only doing that for ourselves, but when we become agents of awakeness, when we become agents who advocate for being spiritually awake and listening for the Spirit's guidance and observing our own behaviors, when we become such agents of awakeness, that's a threat to others who are committed to being asleep. It happens. It's not because God wants us to struggle. It's not because God wants us to hate or to be upset or to suffer. It simply is. It's a dynamic that happens. Jan Hus dealt with this his whole life. He tried to get the church, this craziness about the, you know, how many popes are there and how you can elect one pope and then say they're not a pope and then run to France and elect somebody else and say they're the true pope. And it's all very unconscious and it's all very power driven. And Jan Hus kept saying, no, church, this is wrong. And it was an offense because he was asking people to stop being asleep and wake up. He was asking them to be gathered under the motherly wings of the Savior, and they didn't want to. And it got, you know, it worked itself into various places. This whole shebang about whether or not lay people can have the chalice, which just escapes me. But this was a big issue. It was a control issue. And it led to further conflict. But all the conflicts that Hus had in his life, they were conflicts about his championing people waking up. And that's the challenge that we all face in ourselves and in other people. Now, here's the subtle trick, though. We can become warriors for wokeness who are very much unconscious. Right? One of the best ways to be unconscious is to get into a fight, to go looking for a battle. That's a great way to become unconscious. Pretty soon it's all about winning the fight and it's not about the principles that we were concerned with. So there is, again, more opportunity for us to wake up and reflect and ask hard questions. The challenge with working with our inner self is the challenge of going unconscious, of not thinking things through, of not looking honestly. It's the hard work of taking things from unconscious to conscious. Because it's only when we make them conscious that we can work on them. That's the challenge that Hus faced. He was asking people to stop and think and look and be conscious. And the challenge was that people killed him. They killed him for it. So the invitation to us is to do that work, not only out there, which can be, get all ego-driven and conscious, but to do it in here, in our hearts as well.